This is the Foreign Desk Explainer. I'm Andrew Muller. Today, cultural boycotts. Radiohead played Park Hayakon in Tel Aviv this week. They did so, you may have read, without the blessings of Ken Loach, the veteran filmmaker, agitator, and more recently self-appointed arbiter of the moral correctness of the touring schedules of rock and roll groups. Loach did not merely take again Radiohead's decision to visit Israel, but expressed a measure of affront at the group's refusal to discuss it with him personally. Loach is one of a small but vociferous group of artists who believe that any engagement with Israel is an act of collaboration in the oppression of Palestinians, although it was noted shortly after Loach charged his high horse in Radiohead's direction that his own films had been widely distributed in Israel and that indeed his latest dreary philippic, I, Daniel Blake, is presently screening in Israeli cinemas.
Jesus Christ! Who's first in this queue?
I am.
Do you mind if this young lass signs on first?
No, you carry on.
There you go.
Loach and his fellow travellers are entitled, as all artists and all people are, to their opinion of Israel. But are they correct in their opinion that erecting a cultural blockade against Israel, or any other country, although Loach et al. Seem curiously unconcerned with every other country, is a constructive means to a righteous end? The question at the heart of the dispute is whether doing business in or with a particular country amounts to a wholehearted endorsement of everything that country's government does. Radiohead's Tom York thinks not. He has observed that Radiohead do not endorse Benjamin Netanyahu any more than they do Donald Trump, but that Radiohead still intend to play in America.
You know, I wish I had the guitar. I wish I had that kind of talent, but I have so many great friends in that world. I've just found them to be very different, all different.
Critics of Israel are fond of making unflattering comparison to apartheid-era South Africa, which was for many years the target of concerted international boycotts, commercial, political, sporting, and artistic. In 1985, E Street Band guitarist Steve Van Zandt led a sing-along of fellow musicians declaring that they weren't going to play the Bopu Tatswana resort of Sun City. But it is unknowable whether or not this refusal and the attendant publicity freed Nelson Mandela any earlier, and or whether it might have been any more effective if Queen, Elton John and Black Sabbath, among others, had not gone ahead and played Sun City regardless.
This is your brand new world.
And there is the further question of where one stops. It is far from unusual for Israel to find itself held to a different standard, for whatever reason, than that applied to other countries, certainly other Middle Eastern countries, by sections of the Western left. But should one similarly damn musicians who play in Azerbaijan, painters who exhibit in China, or prominent British Labour politicians who host chat shows for Iran? Is every footballer hoping to play in next year's World Cup finals a de facto apologist for Russia's invasion of Ukraine?
Life. Life is life.
In 2015, the veteran Slovenian rock group Laibach became the first Western band to play in North Korea, a manoeuvre that would have been easy to characterise were one so minded as a gesture of support for a gruesome dictatorship. But would anything have been improved had Laibach not gone, and had one North Korean citizen not been inspired, therefore, to remark, as Laibach's Ivo Saliger reported, "I didn't know that such music existed, and now I know." If one supports cultural disengagement from countries one finds disagreeable, one by definition supports the separation of the citizens of those countries from the cultural engagement that can change minds, and with them, the world.